Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Mark with Concho Valley Foundation Preparers with me. We're going to learn a lot about what's going on and what to kind of avoid and maybe save you a lot of money. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. And Mark, we were just talking a little football here. I mean, how about the Cats? Undefeated.
Oh, it's wonderful. They deserve it. They've every year they've been right up there.
So they got a great group of boys, and they're doing a good job. We kind of mentioned our Longhorns. We better jump right into Concho Valley Foundation and what all you're going to do to help people save a bunch of money.
Right.
Let's give them some good ideas. First off, let's talk about, we all started a long time ago.
Yes.
We
started here in 2006.
Okay. But I mean, originally y'all been
We started in Abilene back in 2003, and I was coming over here all the time, and I just said, we're going to open up another branch, and I'm going. And that's why we're here now.
And folks, he does not have his cape on while we're doing the radio show. He's good there. And in fact, sometimes I thought he was. We've had some situations. And it did slow down for a little bit, it seemed like, you know, with the weather kind of mellowed out.
Yes, it kind of slowed down a little bit for us.
I was telling Mark, it seemed like I was calling him once a week to come check a house for me. Because if there's an issue, we want to get it. We want to know about it up front,
right?
And that's one thing you can do, folks. Is you can call Mark, and Mark, tell them what you've done several. You show up, you come to the house, and tell them what you kind of do.
What I do is I come and do a complete inspection of the home. I will do a complete walk around of the outside, looking for cracks, separations on windows, in the brick, and then I'll come inside and try to match those up. I'll also take measurements of the house and go over them with you, and I'll actually take the customer with me to see what I'm doing, because he has to see all these things that normally sometimes they miss because they have busy lifestyles and they don't really pay attention. They might feel the floor dropping, but they're not really looking up and seeing what's going on. When I walk into a house, first thing I look for is the door frames. I look at the door frames to see if they're twisted or they're sloped to the outside or to the inside. It's a very telling, but most people don't know that. But it's very easy to notice if you have an issue just by looking at the door frames, if they're the original ones.
I know we've talked about slab versus pyramid beam. We actually showed a house 2 days ago, and when you walked in, it felt like the whole floor was rolling like an ocean. Is that easy to fix or not easy to fix?
Was it pier and beam?
Pier and beam.
The main issue with the pier and beam, I live in a pier and beam. I love pier and beams. I think they're the best foundations made. They do cost a little bit more, but you really have to stay on top of it. If you get a water leak or if you have poor grade where water pools next to the house, it's going to get up underneath there. Underneath the house, and it's going to cause those internal piers to start moving, bulging and dropping, and then the floors start dropping. And if you let it go for too long, the wood's subfloor is going to warp, and it will not come out unless you put a lot of heavy weight. Let's say you have a bulge in the floor, you'll have to put actually heavy furniture on top of it once it's readjusted to force that wood to come back down.
Level back down. Okay. Let's go back. Okay, so you've done the inspection, and folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to say over the years, I don't know how many houses, a bunch of houses.
Quite a few.
And to be honest, more than half, you've told me this is not a serious foundation problem, you do not need my services. And in fact, I respect the man and appreciate his honesty, saved my sellers a lot of money, because we said, well, we had him out here, these are cosmetic, and went right on down the road, and did not charge us a fee. So, I mean, that was unbelievable. Now, the other deal, I'm going to tell you this because we've had this one too with Mark. We've had some serious foundation problems.
Right.
You know?
Well, Scott, a lot of the homes I've looked at for you, where there wasn't really issues with the home. It was drainage, slope maintenance, you want the slope of the soil to slope away from the house, just gently. It doesn't have to be a severe drop. Gutters, anything that you can do to get the water away from the house. And then you're going to come back and say, well, I'm supposed to put a little water around the house. Yes, but that's a soaker hose. And, you know, if hottest time of the year, maybe 30 minutes a week. But all that excess water, because we either get a gully washer or we get sprinkles. And all that excess water coming off the roof will pool next to the house, and the house will never stop moving.
Well, and I'm so glad you said that. In fact, I had a guy, and this is from several shows ago, a long, long time ago. And he said, well, you know what? That's just exactly what he said. He goes, well, why should I have gutters? You're telling me you need to keep water around my house anyway. And I hope I did this right. I said, it's kind of simple. You want a little water consistently. You want consistently where the ground doesn't shrink, move and troop, all this. Think about anything. If you're going to drink a glass of water, are you going to have to drink 10 gallons of water at the same time? It doesn't work.
Correct.
So the gutters are there to keep it consistent, correct?
Yes, because you have your valleys where the roof different roof lines come together. It's just like a waterfall, and it comes down. It will eat out the soil and create a depression, and that's where the water pools. And once it does that, it'll soak deep into the soil, and it will cause the clay to heave. And it'll heave up, and it'll dry back out, and the house will settle back down. But one thing happens when it keeps going up and down, the rebar and the concrete will eventually break because it's being rocked back and forth constantly, and eventually it's going to crack and break, and then the house is going to drop completely.
So we said we're going to save you thousands and thousands of dollars. If you have a major one, I guess the biggest one I've seen you do is over $20,000.
No, the average job in the state of Texas is $8,200.
Okay, but I mean, I've had one that we did and you fixed it. It was on a built on a farm on farmland. You know, I'm a huge Wall fan. My daughter went to Wall. I think Wall's a great community.
Right.
But if you build all those houses on farmland, that farmland is not necessarily the best land to build a house on.
Correct. And a lot of it has to do with the builder. There's a lot of people say, well, it's the drought. It's trees. Yes, but it's the way the house is built, the way it's constructed. If the builder brought in stable soils and packed it correctly, added the right amount of moisture, a lot of them just come in, cut the grade, and they'll just start digging and building.
I call them dirt scratchers.
Yes.
And that doesn't work.
No, you have to have stable base materials brought in and done correctly.
So first off, let's start with a good house. First off, let's make sure we have a good builder. He built a good house on a good foundation. And you know, you can build a house on sand.
Yes.
If you do it correctly.
Yes.
So that's that point where you build it's kind of, I guess, irrelevant.
Right.
First off, get a good builder. Okay, we've got one, but we still have some due diligence as homeowners to take care of to make sure even if the house is built good.
Correct.
So, and this is what you're talking about. We've got to do the gutters, and we've got to water around the outside some.
And landscaping. A lot of issues I had this year after the big rainstorm, the month of rain we had, is flooding. People are having water coming into their house. They didn't know what to do. They thought it was their foundation issue when it wasn't. It was soil too high. The soil needs to be 2 to 3 inches below the brick line on the slab. If it is up above the brick, you got weep holes every 4 foot, and water is just flowing right into the wallboard.
And you need those weep holes. I had one little lady, sweet as could be, sold her a new construction. She called me about almost a year later. She said, Scott, I've got all these problems. She said, what did you do? She said, well, the builder was so sweet and everything, but he left all these little holes in the bottom. So I went and got my little cement putty mat out, and I filled them all in.
Right.
You got it. Those weep holes are there for a reason. You want them open.
Yeah, they're designed to keep the airspace behind the brick and the wallboard to stay dry. If they are closed up, you will create mold, and you'll create health issues because it will get inside the house.
So, and it's easy to do, folks, especially when we get a lot of rain, like Mark just said. Stuff starts coming straight to your house and stays there. Bad deal. And you said, water was literally flowing through the houses.
Right, correctly. It was just everywhere.
And peering beams, sometimes you don't know that.
Right. It's hard to tell. I check underneath my house at least once a month. I just look up underneath. A lot of times you can hear if water's running, but if you got a slow sewer leak, it is hard to tell. And you want to make sure if you see any tracks where water has flowed through up underneath the house, where you can put a stop to it.
Now, a lot of the new construction that I've seen, I haven't seen any copper anymore. So I'm using that flex tube.
Flex tube. It's wonderful.
So you do like that?
Yes,
and it goes in up in the walls and not in the slab?
As long as you have enough ties on there to keep it from when you turn the hot water on, they start bouncing everywhere.
Yeah, yes, where that makes the noise.
Yeah, where it makes the noise.
We just learned something right there.
I learned it very, very quickly.
So we've got it. Okay, Barnes, so we've got, you can come out and do an inspection if you've got a concern.
Yes.
If we have a concern, let's say we have some issues. We have red soil in San Angelo, Texas.
Correct.
So we're going to have some issues, period. I mean, we can prevent a lot of them from happening, but some of them are going to happen. And think about it, like you just said, we've had, 8 inches of rain in a week, and then we got up to 107 degrees.
Yes.
When you have those changes, you think about a ball of clay. Leave it in the sun at 107 and see what it does, and then keep it in a bucket of water for 7 days.
Right.
It's going to move.
Yeah, it's like quicksand. If you step in it when it's wet, your shoe will come off. And then the next thing you know, a few days, 105-degree temperature, and it's like concrete. And red clay is just like black clay. It shrinks and swells, and the house will never stop moving unless you can control the moisture around your house.
So let's make sure we keep do our preventive maintenance.
Yes.
So we don't have to do it. Because Marshall, those guys, that when you need him, you really, really need him and need to know him. But let's hope that you don't know him.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is have to call me.
We want to call him if we have an issue.
True.
For sure. But we hope we don't have an issue. Folks, we take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.